Birdsong by Sebastian Foakes, dramatized in three parts by Nick Stafford. Part 3. In France, Stephen Raisford has run away with Isabel, the wife of a factory owner. When she abandons him, he loses himself in the First World War.
It's very narrow.
It's like a rabbit hole.
Lamp working?
Yes.
I'll crawl ahead with the canary. Follow me as fast as you can.
Yeah.
The clay sticks to my hands. I want to push back the walls of the tunnel to give us space to breathe.
I'm going to have to use my pick. It's too narrow. This is it. This is the end. There should be another 30 feet. They've blown the whole bloody thing.
Who's down here?
Shaw, I think. And a new one.
How do we get the bodies out?
We don't. We just bring in the roof. We send down some men to timber it, and if they can get through... But I want to shut this tunnel now.
Leave them here.
We say a prayer. We're all buried in the end.
Do you want to say a prayer now?
I don't know any prayers. Do you?
I could invent one. Into your hands, O God, we commend the souls of these two men. May they rest in peace. Let this not be in vain. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let's go. You better let me lead the way.
Yeah.
I'll try and get past you.
Yeah.
Move back a bit that way.
Oh,
that's it. Push up against the wall.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, my arm's broken. Get me out. Quick, or the whole thing will come down. Get this stuff off me. We've got to get out.
I'm doing my best. I've got to be gentle. Can you make it?
I've broken a rib too. You take the bird.
The bird's gone from the cage. Let's go.
We can't leave it. We have to find it and take it back. If the Boche find it, they'll know that we've been...
For Christ's sake! They know there's a tunnel. That's why they blow it.
You cannot, under any circumstances, leave a bird free. Ever. It's in the handbook. I'd be court-martialed. Find the bird.
Come on. My light's too feeble. There it is.
For Christ's sake, what's the matter? You're going to bring the tunnel down. Keep still. Keep still. No, look, it's up near me now. I've got it. It's in my hand.
All right, let's go. You start off and I'll follow.
I've only got one hand. I can't take the bird.
Well, kill it. It's only a canary. Come on. I'm getting cramp. I want to get out of here.
I can't.
For God's sake, just squeeze it in your hand. Bite its head. Anything.
You do it.
No. It's too risky to pass it back to me. It might escape again.
I'm rolling over. Look, I'll hold it while you take your knife and cut its throat.
I'll take it.
You'll need both hands to dig and crawl.
I know. I'll tie it in my handkerchief. Right, let's move. Get.
I'd like to say a few words over Arthur Shaw's resting place. We've dug his body out. Only to bury it again. He goes underground for the final time. This was his favorite hymn. There is a green hill far away outside a city wall where Jesus Christ was crucified. He died to save us all. Let's go and get drunk.
Cigarette, sir?
Thank you, Alice.
The flag. How do you get these things?
I'm trying to see how many different brands I can get through. Apparently there's some called Kitchener's Small Size that I haven't had yet. Tell me something, sir. You know those cards the other night?
You don't have to call me sir, you know. As for the cards, what do you think?
I think you fixed them.
Of course I did. Even Weir knows that.
So why does he want you to do them?
Because he's frightened. Weir doesn't believe in anything. He needs something to sustain him.
And the cards help him?
Perhaps. He's a very scared man. He can probably trick himself.
And when did he first get the wind up?
I don't think it's fear in that sense. He's not afraid of gas or shells or being buried. He's frightened that it doesn't make sense. That there is no purpose. He's afraid that he's somehow strayed into the wrong life.
They haven't sent him home, have they?
Broken arms are viewed with suspicion since the early days when the infantry took to sticking their arms in the winch gear in hope of serious damage. What are you going to do in Amiens?
Oh, I don't know. I've never been on leave before. Don't know how much of normal life goes on. I'd like to go to a theatre, perhaps. What ought I to do?
Most people want to get drunk first, then go to a brothel.
I don't think I should like that.
Which, the getting drunk?
No, the other.
I think you're supposed to. The army thinks it's good for your health. The brothels are sanctioned by the military police.
Will you go?
I have no interest at all.
Well, then, neither shall I.
But I shall definitely go to a bar. You must let me buy you some champagne. That's how we'll start. There's a cafe, I remember, where I used to have lunch.
I leave Ellis in a bar full of drunken soldiers and, drunk myself, search out a local bar where there are no soldiers. Taking my drink, I sit in the window and close my eyes, trying to relish the quiet. But my mind is too alert. What I really need is human contact, given willingly. When I open my eyes, I see a woman who has come in and is buying a bottle of green cordial. When she turns, my stomach tightens as shockwaves pass through me. Her eyes meet mine, then slide away. And she makes for the door.
Excuse me.
Monsieur.
Is your name Jean?
Yes.
And your family name Fomentier?
Yes.
Do you know who I am?
Yes, I think I do.
Could we talk somewhere? There's some things I'd like to ask you. I want to know about Isabel. I want to know if she's well and if she's happy. I've no wish to make things difficult. You probably think badly of me for breaking up her marriage. Whatever life she has now, I have no wish to disturb it. After 6 years, I just want to know if she's all right.
All right, monsieur. Oh, yes, she's all right. What you did caused great suffering to her husband and particularly to his children. Of course, Isabel is not absolved from her responsibility, but as for you, there are people in this town who would gladly shoot you for what you did.
Did she talk to you about her marriage?
Isabel has talked to me about everything, monsieur.
Good. It's not that her unhappiness with him absolves me, but...
I don't blame anyone.
Does she still live in Amiens?
I came here to look after her.
What do you mean, look after her? She's sick.
I don't want to tell you...
Tell me, is she unwell? What happened?
All right, I'll tell you. Provided you agree to let me go when I've finished. I'll tell you all that you need to know, and then I shall go home. You mustn't follow me or make any attempt to reach me. Is that understood?
Yes.
Isabel returned to Rouen. To my parents' house. It was my suggestion. Oh, they were reluctant to take her back, but I insisted. After some months, my father made a deal with Azair that she would return to him.
But listen,
let me tell you. Azair promised to make a new beginning, to take her back as though nothing had happened. In the first year of the war, the town was occupied by the Germans. Many men were taken away, including Azair. Time passed. Things happened. Isabel stayed. The house was hit by a shell and the back part of it destroyed. No one was hurt, but Isabel moved to an apartment. Then last November there was a heavy bombardment and Isabel was injured. She's out of hospital now. And she's quite recovered.
I want to see her.
No, that's not possible. Not after all that's happened.
Please.
Monsieur, I have told you perhaps more than I should. But I felt I could trust you. When Isabel left you, I think you were honourable in your way. You did not pursue her or make her life more difficult than it was.
Will you at least tell Isabel that I'm here? Then she could decide for herself.
All right. It's against my better judgment. But I'll tell her we've met. Now, you must let me go.
And how will I know?
I'll meet you in the same bar at 9 o'clock tomorrow evening. Now, I must get back.
I walk back to the old house. What I thought dead is beginning to leap and flame inside me. The front door is still there. I can taste, I can smell the floor polish, hear the footsteps, smell her clothes. It must have been a direct hit. The red room is gone. Oh, the flood of memory. I walk all night. Sleep in a room in a hotel in the afternoon. In the evening, I put on a clean shirt. On my way to the cafe, I notice my clean shirt, like the old one, has lice in it.
Good evening, madame.
Monsieur.
How are you? Can I get you a drink?
No, thank you.
Did you speak to Isabel?
Yes. She was surprised to hear that you were in Amiens and that you wanted to see her. Eventually, she agreed. I'm to take you to the house this evening.
Now?
It's not far to walk.
Dark inside. One lamp heavily shaded. This is fear. This is what makes men cower in shell holes or shoot themselves.
Isabel.
Stephen. Oh, I'm happy to see you looking so well. You've gone a little grey, haven't you? But it's good to see you've survived. I'm glad you wanted to see me. You mustn't worry about this injury. I know it's ugly, but it gives me no pain.
Your sister... she's been very kind. I'm sorry. Isabel, would you mind if I had a glass of water?
Oh, there's a jug on the table in the corner. Help yourself. Then you must have some English whiskey. Jeanne went out specially for it this afternoon.
Thank you.
You've kept safe.
Yes, I have. The war will last another year, perhaps more. I can hardly remember a life before it. We don't think about it, those of us who've survived. I've been wounded twice.
Oh.
Oh, it's nothing serious.
I hope you're not shocked by the way I look. Really, I was lucky compared to some others.
I'm not shocked.
When I returned to my parents in Rouen, I imagined that Azair would never want to see me again. But my father is a shrewd negotiator. He brought Lisette and Gregoire over to see me. I wept with happiness when I saw them again. Then there was the meeting with Azair. The strange thing was that he seemed quite ashamed. Because I'd left him for another man, I think he felt quite diminished. I went back. I had no choice. Within a few months, what they call society had taken me back. But I was saved by the war. Perhaps that's why I'm philosophical about my scars. After the British decided not to defend the town, we waited for the Germans to arrive. Many left, but Azair saw it as his duty as a town councillor to go with the ones being deported to Germany. The house was taken over as a billet for German officers. There was one called Max. I fell in love with him. Sometimes I've lain awake at night thinking of myself as a traitor three times over. To my husband, my country, and my people. I can't understand how I, such an uncomplicated creature, have become so extravagant an outcast. Since the Germans left, I've been to Vienna to see Max on leave. I received your letter from the Somme. He was in the same battle.
How is Lisette?
She's married to Lucien Lebrun.
Is she happy?
She lives in Paris.
What's that noise?
A cat. It must be the cat. Jeanne has a cat.
Huh. Sounded like a child.
Well, they do sometimes.
Isabella, I wish you well with your German friend. May I touch you?
You mean my face?
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Dear Stephen, I am writing to tell you that Isabel has left Amiens to go to Munich, where her German has returned home after being badly wounded. She will never return to France. She is an outcast in her parents' family and in the town. Everything else is fine here. If you would care to visit on your next leave, you could dine at the address you visited last time. The food supplies are not as good as in peacetime, but we probably do better than you soldiers at the front. With good wishes, from Jean Formentier.
Captain Raceford.
Quiet, isn't it?
Tolerable. I've got a problem. I'm trying to get a working party to go out and bring back some bodies.
So what's the problem?
My men won't do it unless I go too, so I've said I will. Then they insisted on having a miner with them, but Major Weir says it's nothing to do with them.
It is nothing to do with us. They're fed up with doing the infantry's fatigues.
We should all go. It doesn't matter, it's only death. Is your arm better?
No.
There'll be rum.
Oh, that settles it.
Ellis, get them ready for 12 o'clock. Let's get the bodies out of this crater. Him first. Take his arms, Brennan. Oh, no. Like hell.
Oh, they came off.
Rats, crows, flies. Rats in bellies, crows with red beaks and faces. Not men, but flies and flesh placed bit by bit onto stretchers.
I wonder what my father would say, doing their bit.
What frightens me is that one of them may be still alive.
After all this time?
It's been known. Brennan, put your gas mask back on if you stop being sick.
It's my brother.
A torso with no head. Buttered green flesh.
I'm sorry.
I found him. That's the main thing.
Dear Jeanne, I'm on leave in England, and I would like to accept your kind offer and visit you on my way back. It means a great deal to me to receive your letters, to have some contact with the sane world.
Oh, I say that.
Excuse me, I'm getting out at the next stop. Would you like me to telephone your wife or your parents and tell them you're on your way?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Where is your home?
Lincolnshire.
Oh, dear. That's a long way.
I'm not going there. I'm going to Norfolk. It's very nice at this time of year.
England. No feelings of emotion. The people look at us bewildered. We frighten them with our filthy appearance, our expressions of endurance.
I'd like a room, please.
Well, I'm only the cleaner and the landlord's out for the afternoon. But I can let you have a room if you sign the register.
Oh, yes.
Can I leave my bags here whilst I go for a walk?
I'll put them safe.
Safe and tranquil English countryside. The shock of 3 years hits me. These feelings must have some physical issue. Spasms or bleeding or death. God. But what I feel is not an assault. It's a passionate affinity. It's the sight of the rough fields and trees, the tower of the church in the village. We are all part of one thing, one creation. I, the tiny pulsing of my blood, am one with all things. We are bound. And this love could sweep me away off the earth. Isabel and the dead, my mother, we are all can be brought together in forgiveness. I want to be forgiven. I want my sins and anger to melt. I have been exiled. My soul has been exiled in killing.
Are you tired after your journey?
No, not at all. I feel very well.
Please, sit. She told me you stared a lot.
I've lost my manners. Have you heard from Isabel?
Yes, she's very happy. Max is badly hurt, but he's going to survive. She asked me to thank you for coming to see her. I think it meant a good deal to her to see you again and to know that at least you wished her well. I think that sustained her.
I'm pleased. Pleased.
Now, monsieur, we're going to have dinner in about an hour. I'll have to go and see how it's coming along. I'm not sure if you'd like to rest or have an aperitif. I'm not used to this sort of thing. It's somewhat unconventional.
Then she smiles. It's the first time I've ever seen her smile. I believe it is the most extraordinary expression I've ever seen on a human face. It begins with a slow widening of the lips. Then the pale skin of her face becomes radiant, not with blood as Isabel's might have done, but with an inner light that makes it shine.
There is something Isabel sent me out to buy when you came before. It smells horrible. It's called Old Orkney. It's an English drink.
Scottish, I think. I know it well.
This is meant to be a fish soup in the manor of Dieppe, near my home.
I expect the war has affected supplies.
I'm not sure. It may be that the citizens of Amiens are just not interested in food. Huh. Would you like to pour the wine? You're thinking of your return, aren't you?
Yes, I'm sorry.
It won't last forever. We must all be patient. Think of your next leave.
Can I come here again?
Yes, if you like. Count the days and the weeks. Keep yourself safe.
You may be right. I think of the men I was with and...
And then you must stop thinking about them. The ones who have died. You did your best for them and there's nothing more you can do. When it's over, you can remember them. Now you must concentrate on getting yourself through it.
I can't do it, Jean. I'm so tired. I've given everything. Please let me stay here.
A few weeks behind the lines where there's no danger. You can manage that.
It isn't the danger, it's the effort. I can no longer bring my mind to it.
I know. But you must be strong. I've made up a bed for you because I thought you might want to stay. I'll wake you in good time in the morning. Come on now.
Sit down, Raceford. Did you have a good leave?
Yes, thank you, sir.
I'm afraid your company's time behind the lines has been cancelled. You're going back to the front line tomorrow.
I don't mind.
I'm under pressure to put you in for a staff job.
I haven't gone this far to abandon the men, now.
Which men?
The men I've been with since the start.
They're gone, Raceford. You've only two from your original platoon. You're tired.
No, I'm...
You're not shucking anything. I know you go on raids and patrols and down the tunnel with the miners. There was a bad incident with some enemy prisoners in B Company. Did you hear? It was after a long bombardment. The men were worn down. There was a raid and they took a dozen Boche. When they discovered they had to escort them uphill 5 miles in the rain, they took them to the edge of a copse and killed them. The officer turned a blind eye.
They should be charged.
And I thought you hated the Germans.
I do. I find that the hardest part of my job is trying to get the men to hate them as much as I do. They start talking about poor old Jerry, and they can hear them talking or singing. Then I remind them of their dead friends.
And what about you?
I only have to think of my men. Of what they have done to them. Of how they died.
Well, I don't think officers are supposed to live at a pitch of personal hatred for the enemy. They're supposed to be bloodthirsty, but with a clear head. And with regard to the safety of their men.
I have that thought in my mind all the time.
Would it please you to kill large numbers of the enemy with your own hands?
Yes.
And yet you feel punctilious about a mere dozen prisoners.
Somehow, there are rules. We have degraded human life so far that we must leave some space for dignity to grow again.
I hear you've been playing with all that voodoo nonsense like the men. Cards and rat's guts.
I did it on special request for Major Weir. No one else.
You don't believe in it yourself?
I fixed the cards.
And what do you believe in?
War.
What do you mean?
I want to see how it will end.
Anything else?
Sometimes I believe in the possibility of an explanation.
I thought so.
I saw your face that morning at Beaumont, when you talked about the wire being intact.
And?
I looked in your eyes and there was perfect blankness.
Those are intimate moments.
I know, I was there. I saw the great void in your soul. And you saw mine.
This noise. I can't bear it.
You've been saying that for 2 years. The truth is, you're one of the most resilient men in the BEF. Whiskey?
Oh, thanks. Well, when are you going over?
Oh, usual time. It'll be all right. Just a local attack. Just a recce, really.
Stephen, I'm worried for you. I have this foreboding.
I don't want to hear about your foreboding.
You've been a marvellous friend to me, Stephen. I'll never forget after a moment when we lay in the shell hole and you...
Of course you'll forget it. Now just be quiet.
You don't understand. I want to thank you. I've just have this premonition. You remember last time you did the cards and...
I fixed the cards! I cheat! They don't mean a thing!
Now, I know I shouldn't be saying this. I know it's selfish of me, but I really...
Just shut your mouth, Weir! Just try to help me! If you were grateful or something, then try to help me! Christ Jesus! Do you think I want to do this? Do you think my life was made for this?
No, but I just...
All those boys of 18 and 19 who walk out in the morning and I have to go with them and watch! Just please, for once, try and talk about something else!
This is something that has to be said, and I don't care if it's tactless. There are more important things than that. I want to thank you and say goodbye in case you...
Get out of my way, Weir! Get out of my way and leave me alone!
Stephen!
This is the final bombardment, Ellis.
Yes, sir.
When we go over, you mustn't waver. What is waiting for you cannot be changed. But if you hesitate, you will needlessly endanger the lives of others. The men respect you. You're a good soldier.
Sir.
Go! 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 Brennan, report!
Can't see a thing, sir. No signals, nothing.
They seem to be through the wire. There's Mills bombs going off in the trench.
Signal from B Company, sir. They're in.
All right. Let's go!
Ah!
I can't see them!
They'll be here! We must press on to the second trench!
They're counter-attacking!
Move the sandbags over!
What do we do? What do we do?
We hold the line!
There's no support! We're going down! We're going down!
Alice!
Dear Mrs. Ellis, I am writing to offer you my deepest sympathy on the loss of your son. As you will have been told, he was lost during an offensive action on the morning of June the 2nd. During the last conversation I had with him, he told me he had no fear of death and felt fully equipped for any task he might be called upon to perform.
Well, heavens! That's our biggest tunnel.
And our best.
Yeah, there's enough explosive down there to blow them back home.
I've heard there's a rumour of home leave for you, Jack.
I don't believe it. They'll make us dig to Australia first.
Well, there's certainly no more digging we can do here. It's a warren. I'd be happy just to get back down the line into a nice soft bed with a glass or two of that wine inside me.
And maybe one of those French girls to follow.
Ooh, Major Weir looks happy.
Ah, good work. Good work. It's all looking worthwhile.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
I'll go and see what I can rummage up. Drink and so forth.
Very good, sir.
He's got boots on for once. Hey, there's sandbags missing there.
He hasn't seen.
Better warn him. Major Weir!
What is it? Oh!
Braver by far than I. You lived with horror. Knew it every day, and defeated it. I feel more lonely than ever before. Your shocked eyes could not contain your innocence. No one else understands. No tears come. Desolation. I loved you. Poor Mad Weir.
Success at last. Those tunnellers did a wonderful job. Do you mind if I sit down, Racewood? And while I'm here, you look a bloody mess. Get a shave and a bath. I'm sorry about your sapper friend. I know what it means when you're left alone. But you're going to have to proceed, Racewood. I'm going to recommend you for an MC for your part in that last action.
Give it to Ellis. It might help his mother.
Or it might break her heart. If you falter now, you'll rob his life of any purpose. Only by seeing it through can you give him rest.
Our lives lost meaning long ago. You know that.
Then do it for our children.
Hello?
Oh, is that Mrs. Gray?
Speaking.
I'm sorry to bother you. My name is Elizabeth Benson. My grandfather fought in the same company as your husband in the First World War, and I'm trying to find out something about him. I got your number from Who's Who. Hello?
Yes. I'll go and fetch my husband.
Thank you.
And do speak up. He's a wee bit deaf.
Right.
Hello, this is William Gray.
My name's Elizabeth Benson.
You want to know something about someone in the war?
Yes.
Good heavens, it was years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to be such a nuisance. It's just that I'm anxious to get in touch with someone who knew my grandfather, to find out what he was like. His name was Stephen Raceford.
Yes.
Do you remember him?
Yes.
Did you fight with him?
Yes.
What was he like?
Like? What was he like? God knows. You don't want to go into all that now.
Oh, but I do, please. I really need to know.
He was a strange man. I do remember him. He was a tremendous fighter. Quite unbelievable nerve. He never seemed very happy about it. Something worried him.
Was he a kind man? Was he a good friend to the other men?
Kind? Dear me. Self-contained, I would say.
Was he funny?
Funny? It was a war. What an extraordinary question.
But did he have a sense of humour, do you think?
Well, I suppose so. Yeah, he's pretty dry, even for a Scot like me.
Well, what else do you remember? Tell me everything.
You never wanted to go on leave. He said he had no home to go to. He liked France. Yeah. And I remember visiting him in hospital when he'd been wounded. It must have been 1915. No, it was 1916. Or was it 15?
Well, did he have any friends? Anyone else I could speak to who'd remember him?
Friends? What? I don't think so. No, there was some sapper. I can't remember his name. He was a loner.
But a good soldier.
He was a terrific fighter, but that's not quite the same thing.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take my husband away now. He isn't used to this kind of thing, and I don't want him tired out. Do you understand?
I do. I'm very grateful to you both. I do hope I haven't been a nuisance.
Oh, not at all. There's a man my husband used to write to.
Yes?
His name is Brennan. Mm. He was in a Star and Garter home in Southend.
Mr. Brennan? My name is Elizabeth Benson. I've come to visit you. I've come to see you because I think you knew my grandfather. Stephen Raisford. It was in the war. Do you remember him?
There was that song we all sang then.
Do you remember anything about the war? Can you tell me anything about my grandfather?
Oh, the relief of Mafeking, that was. They give us such a bad tea. I can't eat it. It's muck. My brother. I brought him back all right.
Your brother? Was that in the war? Did he fight with you? And my grandfather, Captain Raisford?
We all thought he was mad, that one. And the sapper with him. My mate Douglas. He said, that man's strange. But he held him when he died. Oh, they was all mad. They bring me this tea. I say I don't want that.
The diary arrived this morning. I'm just about to read it.
I'm sorry it took me such a long time. It was perfectly straightforward, really, once I'd figured out how his mind worked. Greek letters, French language and a bit of private code. I can't swear I've got every name right, but it all seems to add up. It's a bit gloomy, you know. Pour yourself a drink first.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. Someone else is trying to ring me. It's important.
Of course. Bye.
Thank you again. Hello?
It's me.
Robert.
What is it?
I'm pregnant.
Are you sure?
Yes. I won't tell anyone who the father is.
I'm in shock.
You could sound a bit happier about it.
Just give me time. I'm happy for you. And in time, I'll be happy for myself and the child. Just give me time to get used to it. I've got to go. Just slipped out of a meeting.
I love you.
Love you too.
Since Weir died, I have not been very close to reality. I'm in a wilderness beyond fear. Time has finally collapsed for me. I had a letter from Jeanne this morning.
She said 2 months have passed since we met. Men come out from England like emissaries from an unknown land. I cannot picture what it means to be at peace. We are not contemptuous of gunfire, but we have lost the power to be afraid of shells. There is still blood, though no one sees. A boy lay without legs where the men took their tea from the cooker. They stepped over him. I have tried to resist the slide into this unreal world, but I lack the strength. Many times I have lain down and I have longed for death. I feel unworthy. I feel guilty because I have survived. Death will not come and I am cast adrift in a perpetual present. I do not know what I have done to live in this existence. I do not know what any of us did to tilt the world into this unnatural orbit.
No child or future generation will ever know what this was like. When it is over, we will go quietly among the living, and we will not tell them. We will talk and sleep and go about our business like human beings. We will seal what we have seen in the silence of our hearts, and no words will reach us.
I went to the cathedral to help take out the stained glass windows. We wrapped them in blankets. I had a letter from Isabel.
What does she say?
Well, that she's happy, though Max is not well. He had to have his leg amputated.
Oh, poor man. I'm sorry.
Now, what about you? You're looking very distracted and pale.
I'm all right.
And thin.
Am I? I don't know.
Stephen, you mustn't give up. It's nearly over. Then you'll be free to resume your life.
Resume? I can't remember my life. I wouldn't know where to look for it.
You mustn't talk this way. You'll do something worthwhile.
Why are you so kind to me?
You know what I want to do for you? I'm going to make you laugh. That's going to be my project. I'm going to banish your Anglo-Saxon gloom. I'm going to make you laugh and be full of joy and never think about the war.
Never?
When it's all over, I'll have a house with a garden at the back, with rose bushes and flower beds, and perhaps a swing for children to play on. If not my own, then visiting children. The house will be full of the smell of wonderful meals in the kitchen.
I'll visit you.
And we'll go boating on Sunday. Twice a year we'll have parties. They'll be full of candles. The parties will be famous. I'm not sure how we'd pay for them.
I'll have made my fortune by some invention. Your father will have left his millions to you.
Let me hold you. Let me hold you. There. I need holding as well. There.
Isabel.
What are we celebrating?
Everything. Spring, and you and me.
You haven't had a cigarette.
I've given up.
And have you put on weight?
Well, a bit, I think.
For you, madame, the artichoke. And for you, the mushrooms.
Thank you. I have put on a little weight, but it's not because of giving up smoking. I'm expecting a baby.
Well done. I'm delighted.
I thought you'd be annoyed, you know, because I'm not married.
I'm just pleased for you, if it's what you want.
Oh, yes, it's what I want. Aren't you going to ask me who the father is?
Should I? Does it matter?
He's happy about it. Well, happy enough. He's going to help support it financially. I think it'll all be all right. He's a very nice man.
That's fine, then.
You don't mind that your grandchild will be born when I'm not married?
How could I mind? My mother wasn't married to my father.
Grand-mère?
Your grandfather, Stephen Raceford, married Grand-mère Jeanne in 1919 after the war. But I was already 7 years old by then. I was five by the time they first met.
Well,
in that diary of grandfather's, is there any reference to Isabel?
Yes.
Jeanne's younger sister. She was my natural mother.
No.
Your grandfather went to stay with a French family before the war. He had an affair with Isabel and they ran away together. When she discovered she was pregnant, she left him and eventually went back to her husband. Years later, during the war, your grandfather met Grand-mère by accident in Amiens. She took him to see Isabel again, but Isabel made her promise she would not tell him about the baby.
Which was you?
I suppose she just wanted to spare his feelings. I was in Germany with Isabel and her lover, Max.
A German? From the war?
Yes. Isabel died of flu and Max sent me to live with Jeanne. I was brought up as if I were Stephen and Jeanne's child. We were very happy.
Was he happy?
Well, it was difficult. He didn't speak for 2 years after the war.
Not a word.
I suppose he must have said I do when they got married. One morning he said, we're going to the theatre tonight. I couldn't believe my ears.
Was he all right after that?
Well, he was better. He spoiled me.
And did he talk about the war?
Never to me. He was only 48 when he died. Like a lot of men, he never really recovered. I wish he could have seen you. Mm. It would have made him much happier in his heart. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cry. I don't want to spoil your happy day.
Firebrace. Can you hear anything?
I'm not sure yet.
Anyone else?
No, sir.
No, sir.
They haven't been heard here before.
It might be shellfire on the surface. Hold on. There's footsteps. Going back towards their lines. They've got a tunnel. West. And about 10 feet up.
Retreating, did you say?
Yeah. But they may have laid a charge. There may be any number of reasons.
Is there anyone there? Hello? Answer! Who's that? Keep calling! I'm digging you out! Hold on! Just keep still! I'm getting a grip under your arms to pull your head free! Ready? I've got you! If I dig you completely out, will it bring down more?
Chance it!
I must rest, even if it's only for a few minutes. Christ, what was that?
Another one. Back towards our line.
What does it mean?
You must pull me out now.
Yes?
I think so.
All right. Ready? Which way do we come? I'm lost.
In case you lose me, to get back, we go straight ahead. Those side tunnels are the fighting tunnels. We want that central one.
All right. I'll see if anyone's in the fighting tunnels.
They all went into the right-hand one.
I'll come back. Hello? Hello? Is anyone there?
You've sent us the wrong way.
We went straight, didn't we?
Yes, it's blocked.
The second explosion.
Oh, Jesus! Jesus Christ! What about a rescue party?
They'll never get through all that. You might as well put me down. We aren't going anywhere. What's your first name?
Stephen.
Shall I call you that?
If you want to.
Strange, isn't it? That I should be with you when I die. Of all the people I've known in my life.
Who would you choose to be with?
To be with always, you mean?
Yes.
My son. His name was John. He was a blessing too great for me.
I'll get you out of here. You'll have other children. And when I have a boy, it will be called John.
Who would you choose to die with?
A woman.
Any woman?
No. Only one.
I think we should try it and go back.
What for?
We don't know what those explosions might have done.
You're the expert. Ready?
What are these?
What?
What are these? Are these sandbags?
Could be.
Is it just to shore up the walls or what? What do you people use them for? Come on, answer me. Say something.
Kiwis. Could be kiwis.
What are you talking about?
Kiwis. Store charges behind them.
Explosives. Could we blow it?
I just want to die here in peace.
Wake up, Jack. I'm through. We can get out. You're gonna live.
What's in there?
Boxes of ammo.
How many?
Maybe 200.
Blow up the whole of France. One box is enough.
Then I'll either have to move all the sandbags or the other 199 boxes of Aminal.
If you move the sandbags, the roof might come down.
Tell me I can move that Aminal. Encourage me. Tell me that it can be done.
Perhaps you can. You're mad enough.
Jack, this is it. I'm going to blow it. Jack, there's more air. Jack, you have to want to live. Why won't you live? Why don't you try?
I'm glad my boy's dead. What a world we made.
There's always hope, Jack. Wouldn't you like to see us win the war? Huh?
No one can win. Leave me alone.
I came to this country 8 years ago. I went to a big house not far from here. I was rash and curious and selfish. At that age, you have no fear. You think all will make sense in time. I met a woman. Maybe I was just relieved, overwhelmed by the feeling that someone could love me. It was as though I went through a door, and beyond it, there were sounds and signals from some further existence. What? What is it?
Men digging.
I can't hear it.
Digging?
Yes. Yes. We're gonna get out.
Lift me up.
What is it, Jack? What are you trying to say?
I could have loved you.
Jack! Jack! We're here! We're over here!
Englander!
It's over?
Yeah.
My God.
My God. Yeah. When we went down to see what was happening underground, there was a bombardment. And now, when we emerged 3 days later, everyone's gone. Shall we bury your friend here?
Yes. It's over.
Good.
Yes.
Oh! Oh! It's coming!
It's what?
Oh, it's coming!
I'll ring an ambulance.
No, don't leave me. Don't leave me.
What shall I do?
Oh, God. I can feel its head. Christ. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. Go away. Go away. I want to be alone.
Okay.
Oh, no. No. Come back. Oh, oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to push or not. I can't remember.
Whatever you feel like.
I'll push. Oh. Mm.
I can see the head. I can see it. Come on. Come on. One last push.
I can't. I have to wait for another contraction.
It's a boy.
John.
What was that?
His name's John. My grandfather made a promise.
John. Yes. Yes.
In part three of Birdsong by Sebastian Foakes, Stephen Raisford was played by Toby Stevens, Jack Firebrace by Gavin Muir, Grey by Tom Mannion, and Isabel by Sophie Ward. Weir was played by Adam Godley, Ellis by David Brooks, Jan by Sarah Rice, and Brennan by Ewan Thomas. Elizabeth was played by Rachel Atkins, Robert by John Rowe, Francoise by Carolyn Jones, and Mrs. Grey by Jenny Lee. Birdsong was dramatised in three parts by Nick Stafford,